This podcast is brought to you by BT. Only BT gives you reliable Wi-Fi in every room or £100 money-back guarantee with complete Wi-Fi.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. Actually, that's not fair. The Woodman's here as well.
Hi.
Hi, Woodman.
Hi.
Gav, I know it says the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast, but do you feel at least part of the radio family that we are?
Yeah, I feel like I'm not a maid guy, but I'm an associate.
No, you're definitely, you're a street boss.
Yeah, I'm an underboss.
No, you're a street boss, Cap. Definitely, you're a street boss.
At least a capo.
No, you're a capo, definitely. Definitely. I mean, but I'm not even in charge anyway. I'm only the capo regime.
That's true, yeah.
You know, yeah.
You're not the capo di tutti capo.
A little size. I'll tell you who he's like.
What?
Spider.
Yeah.
In Goodfellas.
I really hope little Si has a big bandaged foot one day.
Yeah, imagine if he turned around when I said that and went, yeah? You, Johnny.
Are you going to take that?
Okay, this is the 4 till 7 thing podcast. We answer the biggest questions every week on the show, including, if you could train a hamster, what would you train it to do? Which was strong, wasn't it, Gav?
Very strong.
Boy, did you guys write the show there, didn't they, Gav?
Sure.
Nothing left for us to do.
Really did.
We literally, it was like they're in front on a tandem, we're behind, feet off the pedals, while they did all the work and didn't even realise it.
That's right.
My God, it was just such... Really good radio. Freewheeling radio. Plus, which band would you get to do your housework? Which actually has my award-winning impression of Morrissey doing the hoovering. Really is strong radio.
Don't miss that.
Radio like you want it, except I think Dom might have done the same thing, which is why someone texted it in. I've got a sneaky feeling.
Really?
Yeah, I think he did. I think we're recycling Dom's joke now. Mind you, Dom is a twit. And what would you prefer to see Little Si do than watch Man United versus Chelsea? Loads of things. What wouldn't you? Anyway, the biggest questions, the biggest podcast, the biggest games, the biggest names. This is 4 till 7 Thangland. There'll always be a Thangland. A Thangland there will be. As long as Thangland means to you what Thangland means to me. Charles, if we now set upon Little Simon and it was tragic, that'd be a Thangland slaying.
Radio X.
I'm Johnny Vaughan. This is the 4 till 7 thing, absolutely live on Radio X. Welcome to March, guys. Welcome to the 1st of March. Happy birthday to my old mate, Eddie Butcher. Happy birthday, Ed. Right. Gav, my weekend, never, ever, ever build a weekend around any form of anything billed as a Super Sunday.
Oh, you mean sporting-wise?
Oh, God, man. Geez.
You said this a couple of weeks ago.
No, I really built it, you know, put everything on hold, really built it up, got my match day seat there.
The big Chelsea Man United.
Watched it. I decided to watch it without the crowd.
Right.
Because it's just weird.
Just blokes shouting, yeah.
Well, no, these days, it really reminds me when they show the crowd there.
Yeah.
And the stadium's empty. Sorry, when you can hear the crowd there and the stadium's empty. It reminds me of in those sort of horror films when they go around a school and you hear... Ring a ring,
it haunts you.
Ring a ring of roses, a pocket full of posies. Yeah, it's like that.
It's just scary.
It's scary, right? It's like empty, but you can hear the singing. So you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. Yeah, it's like that. It's exactly like that. It's like a haunted stadium. The referees. Exactly. That was really musical. The way we didn't swear, that was so like, hey, couple of turns here. Hey, what are you talking about? Yeah. Anyway, so don't bill your weekend. It was 0-0. And obviously, Sky must be really grateful for the... And I think there's two reasons. Mm. I don't know if you know, but Hudson-Odoi, he touched the ball. The referee then overruled VAR,
right,
saying, yes, he went to his hand unnaturally, but come on. If we start doing this, it's the rocky road.
Right.
And so he actually made a stand there. So that's the first thing.
Okay.
The second thing he might have done it for is because Sky actually said, if we don't get a controversial incident without any goals, we have got nothing to discuss on Monday. Because it's all that's been on television.
There was nothing else.
I'm slightly made up because... But there's a third reason.
Go on.
There's a third reason. So the first reason is just to show that referees still have a say.
Yes.
Which is important. Because otherwise they realise once this constant game scanning comes in, they're off the pitch.
Off the pitch.
Anyone
yeah.
can do that, just relay with a relayed message.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. So second thing is nothing to discuss today at all.
Right.
Without any goals.
Yes.
Looks like, at the end of the game they said, looks like we will be discussing that penalty after all with no goals. I'm thinking on and on. But I don't think we'd drag it on to Monday. The third reason, and this is what Man United supporters have forgotten. And they might have forgotten it because in the other leg, do you remember when Harry Maguire, H, decided to rest his arm on Azpilicueta as Gary Neville in the Connery Show? No, he's just resting his arm, really. He's just resting his arm. Resting his arm. And I said at the time, OK, next time I see Gary Neville, should I go rest my arm on him? See how he likes lying on the floor after someone's, after a much larger, physically stronger man has pounded him to the ground. So it might be, because VAR didn't do that, they were actually equaling the process.
Right.
That there's a grand scheme there. And they thought, you know what, we can't. We'll pay him back in the other leg. But that's not really for them to do. But that is the other thing. So that shows that even with VAR, the strings and the swings and roundabout of football fate, you know, still there. You know, you might have lost that there, but think what you gained. Over a season, it balanced it out. Maybe they were trying to demonstrate that. But, little Simon, what did you do at the weekend?
I bought a TV thing that puts it to the wall.
A bracket.
A bracket, yeah. Yeah, one of those tilty ones that you can...
Yeah, I know a bracket.
Yeah.
So what did you...
I've got 120-degree viewing angle now possible, Johnny.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it can twist, it can turn, it can...
It's like brilliant. A dental
I know, but if you just look at a television that's static, you've got about 120 anyway, just walking round it. You don't need to... it won't be... you won't be flat onto it, but you get...
I can look at
it
anywhere in the room.
Though. Okay, which room is it?
The conservatory.
What?
Oh, my God. I've got someone who's... He's got a conservatory.
A greenhouse.
So you can sit in there and just watch it sweating. Or
in the hot, in the sweat room.
So in the summer, you'll just be boiling, watching telly, and unable to see the screen.
Yeah, hot
Wimbledon. And in the winter, you'll just be freezing. With maybe one of those little radiators on wheels you can bring in to sit
My
there.
My mum used to have one of those.
Or a little rug, or a little rug over your leg. Little nice little rug
Keep
over your
leg. Keep the door shut.
Nice little rug over your leg. Can I just say to you, having watched Chelsea Man United, I don't know how many people are for me on this, or with me on this, 83936, I'd rather have watched you putting that up. Yeah. On my television, watching the whole thing, than watch Chelsea Man United. 83936. What would you rather see little Simon do?
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
The thought of little Simon live, even pay-per-view, I think, on television. The thought of... So many of you would rather do that than watch Chelsea Man United. I'd rather see, which I was unfortunately built my Sunday round. Little Si, he just put a TV up on a bracket in his conservatory. It sounds like a much more entertaining day. I'd rather see little Si play with his shower temperature than watch United Chelsea. That's Jay in Hertfordshire. I'd rather watch little Si doing a crossword in his cold conservatory, says Josh from Leeds. I'd rather watch little Si's toenails grow than watch United versus Chelsea. Thanks, Ben. Gaff?
I'd rather watch Simon sort Skittles into colours than watch Chelsea Man.
Yes, yeah. I'd go for that.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch little Si knowledgeably read paint colour codes and their associated names from the Dulux colour palette. Yes, same. That would be a good show. I'd rather watch little Simon's wedding video with him beside me telling me who each of his relatives are and what they do for a living than watch Man United versus Chelsea. That's Mark in Worcester. I've got to tell you, he says he's an Orient fan, so this is actually true. My God. I once got into a cab. And this cab driver, we started talking about football, he goes, don't even talk to me about my team. And I've gone, why? He goes, why, who do you follow? He goes, I'll give you a clue, yeah? Get into the barrel, go right down to the bottom of the barrel, scrape that, go through the floor. There's a lot of swearing there as well. He goes, go through the floor, keep digging down, and there, right in whatever cess or manure you find them down there, you'll find my bloody team. I go, Leighton Orient. He goes, how'd you guess?
X.
Do you know what? Only BT gives you reliable Wi-Fi in every room, or get this, £100 money-back guarantee with complete Wi-Fi. What that means is that wherever I am in my flat, Vaughan Towers, I've got complete certainty that I'll be able to stream NFL games or baseball straight to my phone, whilst my partner, Vanessa, video calls her parents to show off Milton's latest developments. That's our baby, not a dog. We can both stream, download, video call, and game to our heart's content. knowing our personalised speed guarantee from BT means we'll get 20 quid back if it's not what they promised. 20 quid! And that's on all the packages, all of the time. If you don't believe me, search BT Broadband to find out more.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
So Trump, I'm reading about him, and he's he did that rally the other day, which was, again...
Down in Florida, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Down Florida way. The crowd roared. Sure. Donald Trump was back in his comfort zone for his return to the public stage. Yeah, with his supporters. What got me is he was boasting about this rally, the record-breaking rallies. And I'm thinking, because no one else has rallies.
No, no one does them.
No, if you're going to compare yourself to anyone's rallies, pick the Third Reich. You know, that seems to be who your followers really would like. So see how you stack up with their attendances then. Go on, if you really want to go like for like, Donald, and start talking about success, compare yourself to Adolf. No, we don't quite do that. But some of his attendance, you know.
Absolutely,
The only other sort of political rallies I can think of.
Me too. I can't think of any other instances.
Sort of mindless right-wingers turning up and just cheering at everything. Yeah. Anyway, it says here, Gav.
Yeah. He's moved there, hasn't he? He's moved to Florida.
Well, this is what it says. He says he's got a crowd of right-wing activists in his newly adopted state of Florida adoring his speech, full of hardline rhetoric on immigration. There you go, you see?
Yeah.
So it's not too far away to what the Reich was up to.
Not really.
In which case, I think you should say, OK, we're not as successful as them.
Right.
But, Gav, I suddenly realised why he must feel so at home in Florida.
Why is that? Yeah.
Because
he's been so New York his whole life, hasn't he?
Because he's become a Florida man.
Why?
And if we look up Florida man headlines, which I just have done, 20 Florida man headlines.
Well, just to conjure with.
Well, no, this is a famous meme. It's not so big in this country, but it's huge in the States, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see why Donald feels at home there. Are you ready?
Go on, give us a list of Florida man headlines.
Florida man arrested for calling 911 after kitten. Denied entry to strip club.
A kitten.
Yeah, he repeatedly called the emergency line to report the club owner refused to let his kitten into the jiggle joint. Here we go. Here's another one.
Give us another one.
Florida man once arrested for fighting drag queen with a tiki torch.
What?
Runs for mayor.
Runs for mayor.
So already you can see nothing in your past, particularly.
Has any effect.
It's going to affect. It's going to be really... the guy was reportedly dressed in an ironic Klansman costume at a Halloween party when he got into a brawl with a man in drag.
Yeah.
And he was holding a tiki torch.
Wow.
So he's a sort of Ku Klux Klansman Hawaiian style.
God.
Okay, here's another one for you. Florida man trapped in unlocked closet for 2 days.
Unlocked?
Yeah, yeah.
Only Florida man could trap himself somewhere
He thought he was stuck in a janitor's closet before realising they could just open the door and walk out. 2 days.
You'd try the handle, surely.
We're stuck now.
That's it.
No, don't even try the door.
Wait till Monday.
Don't even try it. People forget about Florida as well. It's way south.
It is, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're getting down about, I don't know, you can see it geographically, but because we're so fooled by the Orlando, Miami kind of thing.
Orlando, yeah.
Orlando and Fly Drive. We forget it's deep south. I mean, it's further down than Alabama and anywhere.
Yeah.
Florida man tries to steal rack of ribs by stashing it in his pants. Florida man.
Pants now.
Yeah, Florida man insists syringes pulled from his bottom aren't his.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
So maybe that's why he moved there.
Yeah, he said they belong. They said, no, they belong to someone else. Fantastic. Florida man protects car. This is my last one for you, but this is why he's homes there.
Yeah, go on.
Florida man protects car from Hurricane Dorian by parking it in his kitchen. Donald, there's no place like home, right? There's no place like home.
Radio X.
Gav.
Yes.
Very quickly, I've got some stories for you. You ready?
Go on.
You ready to hold on tight?
I'm holding on tight. Yeah.
Lots of hamster action, and we perhaps haven't got that story count. I know listeners demand.
Sure.
The listeners to the show demand stories. They want news. They want talking points. And by God, they're going to get it. Gav.
Yeah.
Get this. A landscape thought to be the only painting completed by Sir Winston Churchill during the Second World War. sold. Guess how much it sold for? A painting by Churchill.
I'm going to go £500,000.
8 million. 8.25 million quid.
Really?
8.25 million, yeah. 8,258,000. Christie's auction. It was the tower of the Kutubia Mosque, and it was sold by Angelina Jolie.
Oh, wow.
She's obviously smelling a bit of political incorrectness around Winston at the moment. Like people offloading his goods after that.
But are people buying Churchill paintings because it's Winston Churchill, obviously?
Yes, they are, yeah.
Is the painting any good? Was he a good painter?
No.
Right.
No, he's well.
So it's just like a really fancy autograph.
I don't know. You wouldn't swap your Hitler watercolours for it, Gav. I don't know. He's just not a very good artist.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Go on.
No, but he's better than Hitler anyway, which I think is why we won.
Yeah, sure. It was an art off.
Yes. It had been given by Churchill to President Roosevelt following their summit at Casablanca in 1943. Now, I think that's so cheap, isn't it? He obviously got there and thought, I haven't bought a gift.
No.
I'll make a card. I'll do a painting for him.
He had it with him and he was nearly finished.
Yeah.
And he thought, well, I'll have this to paint, while
he might have just knocked it up overnight the way he worked.
Good point.
But I'm saying we've all done that. I'll just make something.
Just quickly
I've done it a few times. I'll quickly print a picture off. And,
for the president.
And then I'll get some, we've got some Prit somewhere. I can stick it to a card. Yes, yes. And then we'll do that whole thing like it's a lot more thoughtful.
That's
doing
right,
that.
It's personalised.
Yes, yes, much more thoughtful.
I painted you a painting.
No, I couldn't download.
Mr. President.
I tried to download Moonpig, it wouldn't work. So instead I made a card. Look at that.
There is no Moonpig.
Yeah, what other things did he leave him? How about he gave him that one where you've got to make a volcano and an island and a bridge out of papier-mâché and then a beach and a palm tree. And there you go, Mr. Eisenhower. Winston's made you a diorama of a desert island. It just strikes me as Britain. But look,
it's a bit odd, isn't it?
We could come across, Gav, of looking a little bit cheap. But anyway, 83936, what have you ever made for other people because you've forgotten a gift?
In an emergency,
I don't mind if there's... I'd rather quality, not quantity on this. Not of the items, but on the text. Obviously, if the items have got to be low quality. So quality texts of low quality items and quantity not important. 83936. How about this, though? Even Tiege and the Woodman, I have to say, making a birthday card from part of an old pizza box did feel like a low point. Thanks. I love that is he's just Bill near Northampton. Yeah, right. But not nearly forgiven, I would suspect. Very good, sir. I forgot it was Valentine's Day at work. He works as a logger, whoever sent this. Oh, Morgan in Dorset. Hello, Morgan. Thank you very much for this. It's precisely what I'm looking for. Are you ready?
Go on. What did he do?
So I quickly chopped off a couple of logs, went home and presented my missus with a set of coasters and placemats made out of tree that was living only a couple of hours ago. The thing is, it isn't. If you weren't a logger...
That'd be all right.
Well, no, because it makes you worry about what mechanics are going to do, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we've got some lovely napkin rings. How about them? They're bolt-shaped. And look at this spanner bracelet.
Radio X. Radio X.
Gav.
Yes.
Let's have a hero, please. Every single day of the week, the Woodman furnished with a hero. Today, absolutely no exception. What do you got here, Gav? I noted down, you told me, a primitive submarine. This is, what, Civil War?
American Civil War, which was between 1861 and 1865. So it's called the Alligator. It was officially known as the Propeller, but its nickname was the Alligator because it was painted green. Anyway, it was the first submarine ever used by the USA officially. This is a story from that era, and it was designed by an engineer called Brutus de Villeroy. A French engineer.
Nice, I like him already.
He'd been commissioned by the Union forces to build a submarine, and it was to be fight the Confederate battleship Virginia, which was an ironclad ship. Anyway, it was 47 foot long, 4 foot eight wide, 5.5 foot tall, and it had 16 paddles sticking out the side.
You're kidding me, they rowed it.
For men to row.
It's like, that's fantastic. Imagine Spartacus, what's he called? Ben Hur, but underwater. Ramming speed.
Exactly
boom,
right.
Boom, boom, boom.
So it had two spar...
Torpedo speed.
It had two spar... This is in 1861, remember, right?
Okay.
So it had two spar torpedoes. Do you know what spar torpedoes
are? What's that?
It's a stick with a bomb on the end of it stuck to the front of the submarine.
Oh, Christ alive. Christ alive. Wow.
So anyway, it was commissioned in 1861, But by 1862 and a half-ish, it was ready. But by then, the Virginia that it was designed to fight was already scuttled. So it was a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
So it went back to the drawing board, and in 1863 they ditched the oars. It was to be rowed by 16 men. It had a crew of 18, 16 of which were for propulsion.
Two of them just doing other stuff.
The air system in it is fascinating too. Yeah. It was two floated air tubes that went up to the surface.
It didn't go
that deep, the actual submarine.
No, but it didn't.
And within it, it had bellows blowing the air over some lime.
Christ alive.
So God knows how the chemistry works.
Oh, Gav.
But it doesn't sound good.
Yeah, apologies for blasphemy, but it is quite shocking.
So do you know what they did? They took away the oars and they put a propeller on the back, like they all do now. So it's very clever.
And what powered the propeller?
Men. Again.
Like an underwater pedalo.
Exactly right.
Oh, God, it's too good.
So it was finally sent on a mission in 1863, and it was towed by a tugboat towards Charleston in North Carolina. And it sank, and it was sinking in a storm, and they had to cut it loose from the tugboat because it was going to pull the tugboat under. It was so heavy.
That's fantastic. Let's salute their efforts. That's fantastic.
The alligator.
The alligator. Johnny Warm, 4 till 7. Thang. Why? Why, we salute you. Thank you, Gav. I'm not particularly green-fingered, so it's probably a good thing I haven't got a garden. Flowers and plants seem to wilt in my presence. But if I thought my dreams of floral design were over, I was wrong, because I recently discovered the LEGO Botanicals range. From bouquets to bonsai, you can relax and practice mindfulness while constructing these beauties. And you know what? Nothing has to die. There's no foul-smelling water at the end of it where you think, how the hell did that get in the vase? LEGO products can help you find joyful focus and perhaps even fulfill your dreams. Do you want to design skyscrapers? There's LEGO architecture. Feeling creative but can't even draw a stick man? There's LEGO art. Always wanted to build a vintage car but don't have the room? LEGO Technic. These types of projects can really give you a well-needed break from the pressures of everyday life. I've lost myself in LEGO, the whole building experience. Vital headspace, because you don't have time to worry when you're building a Jeep Wrangler or cultivating Japanese cherry blossom. They have lots of options for any experience level, so it doesn't really matter if you haven't built with LEGO products for a while. Search LEGO Adults and find your joyful focus.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Gav,
go on.
Can I ask you, when you were a kid...
Yes.
Were you slightly fascinated with hoovering?
No, but we had one of those floor polishers that had the two rotors was obsessed with that because we had a lot of tile floors.
Right, there you go.
Where I grew up, yeah.
See, I used to get so excited when the Hoover came out. I mean, I couldn't wait to be able to wield the thing myself. I thought it was just great. It's like an indoor mower.
It is, yeah.
You know?
It is. And the magic of seeing everything disappear.
Just fantastic, yeah. And when the nozzle was out, let me do it.
Oh, man,
In fact, years later when I worked at a shop, and every morning if you work in a shop, it's such a... You've got to, as well as making the shop look immaculate, which I get.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to restock all the shelves and you've got to go around because they'd rather do that than last thing before you go. And I get that.
Yeah.
But we used to fight. If we were hungover, you get sales fighting over the Hoover.
Let me do the Hoovering.
I don't do the Hoovering.
I don't want to think.
I do this talk today again. Please, it's mindless. Anyway, get this. Girls are taking on more housework than their brothers during lockdown.
Right. Why?
But incidentally, by that, it's not just an expression like, you're right, bruv. No, it's not like brothers like that.
Yeah, okay.
Like me and you. Yeah, I say, all right, bruv, you're like that. So it's not saying girls are taking on more housework than their brothers.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that.
Yeah, all right, bruv. During lockdown, leaving them less time to do their schoolwork.
Right.
They're trying to imply that girls are doing so much housework. Can I just say
Before they do their schoolwork?
Can I just say to everybody out there, remember, there's a whole new excuses culture going on. I couldn't do my homework. My mum makes me do the housework.
To do the ironing.
A lot of this might be crap. Never forget that.
Yeah.
They're looking for anything possible.
Yeah.
Especially now there's no exams. So it's just down to how sort of you get work in on time.
Right.
Yeah, that's now your future.
It is,
and
yeah.
Given
that,
people will look for any old excuses. So this data might be... Anyway, many are cooking and cleaning, according to a survey of 1,000 young people by Their World, a children's charity run by Sarah Brown, wife of the former Prime Minister Gordon Brown. Can I just say here, that also involves a survey.
Right.
That means also kids exaggerate so much.
They have a bit of fun with it.
No, they just exaggerate. I'm always having to do that. You're always making me do that. So if you ask a kid...
It's only ever me.
How much housework are you doing? Oh, come on, Mum's always making me do that.
Yeah.
I can't because you're always making me do that. That's why I always do that. But that kid's using always, that means like maybe once.
What do you mean, kids? I use it.
Yeah, I do. In fact, what am I talking about? Yeah. I suddenly realised I'd resorted to my own voice.
It's always me.
Why do I always have to do it? Yeah, right.
Yeah, go on.
Anyway, it's a children's charity run by Sarah Brown, wife of the Prime Minister, Gordon Brown.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of British girls and women. Mm. This is two-thirds. And they've got this from this survey of 1,000 people.
Right.
Yeah. Somehow, they found 1,000
people
that are utterly typical.
Yeah.
What a load of rubbish. They never take surveys to Real Britain at all. They always take them up the pyramid, don't they?
It kind of do, yeah.
No, they never do. They never take it into the obelisk.
No, they don't, yeah.
You know, they never, ever. They wouldn't want to.
No.
I'm not going there to go nice people. It looks really rough down there. I'm not going to do that. I'd rather go to that sort of rather suburban street in Chiswick.
That's
no
right,
offence,
yeah.
Little side, but they do say that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather go and ask people like Simon Williams. Two-thirds of British girls and women aged 14 to 24 are spending more time cooking for their families compared to 31% of boys and men. They're also spending more time shopping, cleaning, and looking after sick relatives.
Mm.
Do not underestimate what a thrill a lot of boys find it, getting that, just hoovering and doing
machinery,
that.
Machinery, yeah.
Machinery.
Definitely.
Machine. The machines, Gav. Machines. No, but when he was very little, my middle son now, shit, feels odd saying.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to go and get a new Henry.
Yes.
The industry standard.
Oh,
for all
man,
people.
Yeah, yeah.
No bag is a...
Indestructible.
Yeah. No bag is a...
It's just...
It's genius.
They're awesome. I've still got one, yeah.
Yeah, but he got a little one.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he just...
He had to have one.
And do you know what? To this day, he's never badgered me for anything. He's always been really sort of like, don't really mind. I mean, honestly, you know, I'd rather than having a birthday present, I'd rather, when I see something, I'll get it.
Right.
During the year, but I can't say I'll want something just on this day.
Wow, that's quite practical. I was always ready with a story.
Yeah, I know. But remember, you're not just online.
Yeah, that's
it's not,
true.
There's very
yeah.
little physical they want these days
right,
like that. They
right,
just
yeah,
want
yeah.
They just want another upgrade, so that's really quite dull.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was so enthusiastic.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. In fact, the next time he got that enthusiastic, and this shows the balance,
yeah.
Indoor and out, was when we went along to Croydon Power Tools.
Oh, yeah.
And I got myself a Still two-stroke windblower. Not none of that electric crap.
Oh, man.
And he wanted to get the Still toy strimmer.
Right.
That he could use while I was working, so he could work side by side.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
Believe me, if it's... don't start being sexist around the...
No.
You're making your daughters... boys also teach them to cook, do everything. Push them. Push them.
Radio X.
That's the Kooks right here on Radio X. Tell you what, Gav.
What?
The Kooks I'd have... I've seen them live. I'd have them cleaning around at mine. Sorry,
yeah,
we're just talking about a lot of mums are forcing the girls around the house, their daughters, to do a lot of the housework rather than the fellas. When they forgot Gav's youthful delight whenever his mum got out the floor polisher. We used to have that as well. When soon as my mum started polishing the whole straight in there, literally.
Get it
I was like,
shiny.
Polisher?
I know.
Machines, right?
Yeah.
Really exciting. So the Kooks, I definitely have. We've got Biffy Clyro coming up in a second.
Do you think they'd be good?
I'm just wondering. I mean, there's that word grebo. It was used years ago, which sort of perfectly summed
rockers,
up. Yeah, it did. It just grebo. And Biffy, you've certainly got that look. I don't know.
I know who'd be the best band at cleaning.
Who?
Royal Blood. Because if they came round, just the two of them, they'd do more work than all of Arcade Fire.
You're absolutely right, Kev. They just look like... They look like a unit, don't they?
They just get on with it.
Yeah, they do. The two of them, Mike and Ben, just look like they probably... Ben, you handle that. I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
They know what to do. Minimum equipment.
Yeah, they sound like 16 men on stage.
Yes, exactly right. What, you think they could... You think they could...
They could clean like 16
men. They could clean
men.
Like an army.
Yeah.
Exactly right. I wonder if they get some really nice like tabards and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Oh, man. Royal Blood in tabards?
Oh, man. Royal Blood in tabards!
It's got to be done.
Sorry, I haven't sang that for a while. I used to sing that on The Big Breakfast whenever Laura, the Scottish cleaner, used to bring on the pun of the week and from the headlines. And for some reason, I don't know how it started. I said, don't worry, I'll think up a song.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really thought of one. And I just looked at her. She was standing there in a tabard. So I just went, what about it?
Tabard! And it caught on for a while.
Yes, it did. Everyone was going, hoop-a-pa-pa, hoop-a-pa-pa, hoop-a-pa-pa. And then everyone started going, Royal Bloody Tabard! Wow, but anyway, Royal Bloody Tabard!
Great image.
83936, anyone else you think, if you'd like, just think about this, some of the artists we play.
Yeah.
And think about who you'd like to have.
Cleaning your house.
Cleaning your house,
fantastic,
yeah.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, Gav. I'm trying to think, looking down, Arctic Monkeys, no way, too starry.
Yeah, and they wouldn't want to get their nice suits dirty.
Yes.
Yeah, they look too good already.
Exactly right, Kev. Exactly right. They're just too starry. You can see, you know, I saw him backstage after the gig at the O2.
Yeah.
You can see any man who wears like a vest under a suit.
Oh, absolutely. You get a better shine on your floor from like Motorhead, wouldn't you?
Yes. Although Arctic Monkeys does sound like a cleaning product. If you want to get that off, mate, you need to get Arctic Monkeys. No, they're called Arctic Monkeys.
Hello, Arctic Monkeys.
I think you can get them at Halfords. No, it's what you do is it freezes on dirt, and it just literally you just peel it off. Ingrained filth.
That's right. You peel it off and you just burn it.
You just get an Arctic Monkey. They come in a pack of 12. I think. They're brilliant, though. You can use them anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great cleaning product. I bet wee Sammy Fender is no stranger to a duster. He keeps it real.
He seems like he would have a clean.
He does. He does. He's like, oh, don't worry, Mum. I'll do all the stuff on top that's a bit high. Don't worry, Mum. I'll do the top shot with all the pictures of us playing the guitar league when I was a kid.
Defo.
You know.
Defo.
Johnny, Angus Young, AC/DC would be perfect for oak floor polishing. Spends a lot of time on his back sliding around.
He does. He spins around, yeah.
Fantastic. As long as they can make the back of his school blazer out of that yellow duster cloth.
Definitely.
Perfect,
yeah.
Gav. Perfect. Next one, please, Gav.
Housework. I think The Cure would be great at housework.
Great choice.
Robert Smith clearly took care of his eyeliner application, and the pride in appearance would definitely translate to a spotless surface shine. That's from Andrew.
Very good, Andrew and Tunbridge Wells. Yeah. And also, I can imagine him rolling up in a headscarf as well with that lipstick.
Yeah. Ready to work.
Really looked the part. Not making any sexist judgments, but you could see him in a tablet!
You could.
David Grohl could come round clean mine. Not sure how much I pay him, though, as this anonymous caller says. Not sure how much I pay him. I bet he loves to chat.
Absolutely right.
You wouldn't want that. Dave Grohl comes round. You're thinking, Dave, when are you going to get on with cleaning? He's going,
I know, yeah.
And there's another time we just cut a record at Record Plant in LA.
And we're hanging out with the guys.
Dave, it's nice to hear about the album, mate, but...
Miss the telly, mate.
Yeah. The dishwasher's over there, mate. I'd have the Prodigy do my house. They'd be done before you know it. From Morgan, naive, mate. Prodigy, that's strictly gardening, all right? Because they've really got fires and stuff.
That's right,
nice little bonfire going. In fact, you'd have to be careful of that because they would burn everything.
Definitely.
With that enthusiasm. Someone else just calls to say, house looking a mess, call the Blossoms today. Brilliant.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Just looking at which artists you'd like cleaning your house. Evening, Thang Gang. I'd have Morrissey, not the Smiths, just him. I think he cleans systematically and put everything back in the right place.
Yeah.
Failing that, clean Bandit, Sugar. But I still think Morrissey, you know. I'd love the idea of just him in the other room, just hoovering away. This is good.
And humming to himself.
And humming, just like...
Yeah, yeah.
Burning ground, the sun shines out of my mind. It's not like any other world. This one's definitely coming up, handing down. We can go wherever we play, and everything. It's Morrissey who does the housework. Thank you. Thank
do you want
you
a cup of tea?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here all week. No, thank you. I would just have a brisket. You know what? Small business owners have always worked really hard, like a kind of salmon swimming upstream. But the stream, yeah, that's Niagara Falls. And these days, they have to work even harder to get up those falls. Anyway, Barclaycard Business are there to suit your changing business needs. That's the point. Whether you're taking payments face-to-face, I don't know, online or phone, whether you're moving your pet shop online or shifting from in-house dining to a takeaway, make accepting payments or moving payments online the easier part of adapting your business with a reliable, flexible and helpful payment provider. Barclaycard Business. Take every payment seriously. Search Barclaycard Business.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Train passengers are used to being delayed by leaves on the line. Can I just say, to be fair, that happened once.
It did, yeah.
It's like that Michael Fish weather report, isn't it?
It is. It's
and every that's 86 now.
Defines
you know?
His entire life.
Still, mind you, it's exudo disc omnis gaff.
It's a bit of a big one.
Out of one, you may infer the rest. He got it, you know.
Yeah.
They still can't tell you on a Monday if you can have a barbecue on a Saturday, and that's what's important.
Yeah.
Travellers on the 9 p.m. service from London, Euston, and Manchester faced disruption this week. You know why?
How?
A cat.
Mm.
A cat climbed on top of the high-speed train.
On top?
Yeah, and refused to come down. Now, I say, fire it up. Go. Yeah? Cats will know. No, cats will, they'll soon get off.
That's the carriage with the engine, isn't it?
Yes.
It's probably up there because it's warm.
Yeah,
probably. They're running the engine.
Also, the diesel's made it a bit dozy. And also, it's inconvenient.
Yeah.
And they know no one's going to mess with them.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
So, get this. Mm. Staff from Network Rail took 2.5 hours. Imagine how the passengers thinking, what? No, because it always takes a long time because it'd be health and safety now. You can't just get a ladder and just shoo the cat off.
No, you can't because you can't pull out. You don't know where it's gone. It'll go under the track.
No, I mean, you can't just get on the roof and go and just get it off and just hand it down. It's probably got to have a special people come along with a special ladder and the Network Rail cat squad.
Oh, because it might have rabies or something and they've got to look
after the cat. No, no, no. There'd be more someone getting actually injured by getting it rather than just after a while a passenger go, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll kick it off. I'll get it off, said a passenger, lacing up his DMs. And I get this. I'm not saying anything cruel at all. You know, I'm an animal lover. Staff from Network Rail took 2.5 hours to coax it off the train and away from the station's 25,000-volt overhead lines.
Ah, right. So there was some...
Because that would have definitely...
That wouldn't have been good.
That wouldn't have been the result the cat was looking for. No, that really wouldn't have been, though.
No, you wouldn't have wanted
that. Although, a little bit of me, not in a sadistic way, but just purely because I always want to expand knowledge, would be interested to see the effects of 25,000 volts on a cat, but I'd hate to see it actually happen.
Of course.
It'd be awful. Mm. God, can you imagine, Gav, your own cat?
Oh, I've got a solution. I think every train should have a cat.
A train's cat.
Like a ship's cat.
Yeah. And I bet you something, I bet you that cat wouldn't be electrocuted because cats have got that sense.
They're super fast.
Yes, yes.
They're like smoke. They'll get away from danger in a split second.
What would 25,000... Anyway, you ready for this, Gav?
Go on.
So pictures released by the government-owned company yesterday showed the cat... You mean it's a national cat? It's a subsidised industry.
Yeah.
Showed the cat perching on the driver's cab. The train had to be taken out of service. God, what a passenger. Jesus, you're going to love this ending, though.
Go on.
With passengers continuing north on another train with a slight delay, quote. God, the agony. Get this, though.
Yeah.
Staff eventually pulled a heavy-duty bin beside the carriages, giving the cat its own special platform on which to disembark. Station staff said it was last seen swaggering out of the station. Never even thanked its rescuers.
Sashaying out of there. Cats do that.
Yeah.
They know when they've won.
Yeah.
They know.
Just messing with their heads.
Yeah.
Radio X.
But you follow me. I once rented an office off a bloke who kept saying that.
Did he?
He goes, through here, we got the front door. Do you follow me? Let's walk through. We're going up the stairs. Again, I haven't got keys to this section. Yeah, do you follow me?
Did he keep saying that?
Yeah, do you follow me? Everyone in the whole office block has got keys to the front door. Do you follow me? Let's go upstairs. Here we go.
And sometimes we didn't know we were actually meant to follow him or not.
Actually follow him or understand him. Yeah.
Yes, weird. Yes.
Weird.
And then we went into the actual... We went onto the floor our office was. This is me and Ed who I used to write with.
Yeah.
He goes, again, everyone who then... I've got keys to this floor. You will have... And everyone who's got an office here, but no one else throughout the whole building. Do you follow me, though? if I was you, is there a nice pub nearby? We asked him. He goes, there is a fine pub. Roy does some lovely ales on the corner, but I watch her. I put my coat up on the pegs. I caught a tap in the pockets. Do you follow me? Right, we'll avoid that pub then. Thieving barmaid. I can tell you more stories about that, should you wish to hear about.
Tap in the pockets.
Yeah, but I caught a tap in the pockets. You follow me, and Roy did as well. I think you did as well, Stan. That was his assistant, who looked like Igor.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Radio X.
During lockdown, I've been growing my hair. Turns out, underneath, I've got jet black hair. Now, I thought it'd be grey.
Or salt and pepper, at least.
Salt and pepper, like my beard. But no, black. Consequently, my partner, Vanessa, was taken to playing Black Velvet at me in an effort to mock my noir locks. Also, when I come down the stairs, she started to go...
Beauty!
Yeah, beauty! Right, beauty! Beauty, steady, beauty! Calm yourself, beauty! If you do that too much, you'll get sideburns.
Yeah.
Beauty, steady on! I'll thrash your beauty! Sorry, that was everyone else who tried to go near beauty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially savage horse traders who took him off the girl.
That's right, yeah. They always
I'll
had problems.
I'll sell him for a guinea.
A spirited one, eh?
I'll break him. Beauty! Anyway. Black Velvet has become her mock anthem, if you will. Mm. Black Velvet and that's all so smart. You get the picture. Yeah. Anyway, you then started sending in yours, which led us to really invent a brand new feature. Mock. Mock. We went to great expense with that. And a little sigh. Well done for the edit on that. Absolutely brilliant. You'd hardly know us coming in there, would you?
Seamless.
The way we did that. No, yeah. you promised us a seamless edit, and you've really given us that. Fantastic. You said, quote, it'll sound just like Queen singing it.
That's right, yeah.
Note, Queen, not Freddie Mercury.
No,
he says
that's
Queen.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
He's like, he sings just like Queen. I love who he sings like. He's got a voice just like Queen. We've had the mock anthem sung at school for a guy called Jodine. Jodine, 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 Jodine. And a lady called Maisie Fawcett, which is just genius, whose colleagues never tire of singing her name to the Osmonds track Crazy Horses. Hence, Maisie Fawcett. Maisie Fawcett. We have got no mention this week, but I always think we should mention at the start that someone works with an Australian accountant called Ken De La Vega.
Oh,
and they
man.
Just think, no need to ask, he's a Ken De La Vega, which we absolutely love. I actually will now sing that over Smooth Operator.
Yeah, it beats it.
Yeah. In fact, if Sade had known Ken De La Vega, she would have done it. She's probably thinking, I can't think of something quite... We'll just put Smooth Operator. Yes, I can't find a name good enough to fit. Anyway, here are three more absolute crackers. Starting off with John in Warwick. Thank you so much, John. We have a rep for another company we deal with at work called John Knight, who's based in Devon. So naturally, every time he calls, the whole office breaks into John Knight in Devon, John Knight in Devon, John Knight in Devon, John Knight in Devon. The M
That's
people.
So good.
Classic. Thank you so much. Too good. Too damn good.
John Knight.
John Knight in Devon. Makes me... It's that noise after us. John Knight. John Knight in Devon. John Knight in Devon. I could do it for a whole show, Gab, but
brilliant.
Listeners will probably think that's not why we tune into Radio X. Yeah. Listen to two men doing M People covers,
that's
singing
right.
John Knight in Devon. What you got, Gav?
Anthony in Daventry says, I worked with a big guy. A big guy with long hair, who was a bit of a rocker. When he walked by, we used to sing, you're a real dead ringer for loaf. A real dead ringer for loaf.
Get this. This is Ben of Newcastle. I used to work with a technician called Chris Miller. Every time he walked in the room, the rest of us were singing our best Queen voices. Chris Miller, no! We will not let you go. Let him go! Chris Miller, no! He will not let him go!
This is brilliant.
Great thing is, he wasn't a fan. Persistence was the key, though. He slowly warmed to it. How about that? 83936. Keep them coming in, please. God, that's an absolute beauty, isn't it? That really is.
Chris Miller.
John Knight in Devon. Oh, 83936, please. More.
X. Hello, my name's Craig Doyle, and this is The Contact Book, the show where we look back at the life and times of our guests with a little bit of help from those who know them best. As we navigate the highs and the lows of their lives, we have access to their contact book and call those who lived through the experiences with them. It's awkward and it's endearing in equal measure, and the truth behind all those tales will be revealed. So please do subscribe to The Contact Book on Global or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio X. Johnny. Vaughan.
Get this, right? A hamster whose owner says it has helped her to cope with the lockdown has been given a Blue Peter emblem.
Right.
It's not the gold badge, which I got.
Did you? I got a gold badge,
yeah. I saved two farmers from a burning barn. I was about 12. Firemen lifted them out.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Did you?
I've got the gold thing. I lifted them, yeah.
But that was when you were Little Tough John.
Yeah. Little Tough.
LT.
No, back then I was Tufts.
LTJ.
I was Tufts John. Anyway. I did set fire to the barn. I didn't tell anyone that, but one of the farmers I had targeted.
Right.
But certainly was seen as a heroic.
Sure.
You've got to keep quiet a bit.
Yeah.
Brevity is the soul of courage.
Mm.
Anyway, so she's got this hamster's got a Blue Peter album emblem, one step short of a badge. So just the emblem.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Billie Jo Howe, Western Supermayor, she wrote to the BBC saying that she doesn't have any friends to play with because of a condition she suffers from, but treacle gives me a reason to wake up in the morning. How about that? Do you know what I'd love, though, Gav?
What?
I mean, I get it with that hamster, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But how long before we get a hamster being given that Dickon medal for bravery?
It's got to happen, hasn't it? Surely they've got some kind of specialist skill that the military forces can
homing
use.
Hamsters.
Yes.
Like pigeons?
Yes.
But for, you know, ground units, they're so wise to what's going on in the air that they...
Yeah.
Literally, you just wrap a little message around it. You go on, my pretty. You go. And you let it free.
Could you train them to use a Morse code? Because they've got those shivery little paws.
Yeah, definitely.
I think so.
No doubt about it.
Little lines of them with headphones on.
Exactly. Did you just say they've got those shivery little paws?
Yeah.
Like Little Si when he's wet.
Exactly right. Exactly like Little Si.
When he looks like a whippet waiting for an owner.
Just coming out of a stream.
Sadly, he's got no tail to curl over his genitals to warm them.
But lines of hamsters doing decoding and sending messages.
I'd love that, Gav.
Much better.
And working on it by themselves.
Absolutely.
You say, we can leave it to the hamsters now.
Yeah.
And they're just all scurrying around and going, get this message to Peter. And then... What's Peter
really
saying?
Really fast.
He's sending a message back with a little...
than the internet, I bet.
Oh, much faster than the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, hamsters using Morse code.
Absolutely,
Gav,
right.
You've seen that you've ushered in a new age.
Their little claws dancing on the little machine.
Or how about bomb-sniffing hamsters?
Oh, yes. You can get them into tight spaces.
Yeah, exactly right.
Where dogs can't get through, yes.
And again, they've got the little Morse code pack on the back.
And you know the casing on a grenade?
Yes.
That would make a great body armour.
It would.
For a hamster.
It would. Police hamsters before match days.
Yes.
It'd be fantastic. Then they just as you're queuing in, they're just going around people's pockets.
That's right, yeah.
Just having
a
little look around. No one cares. It's quite nice before a game.
Absolutely right. A little camera on their heads and you record everything.
What I hate at football and all events, not that it's happened for years, I hate queuing. It's the same at airports. I hate queuing for things where when you get to the front of the queue, it's a lengthy process there.
Yeah.
A lot of it you could have done in the sodding queue.
That's right, yeah.
You know, at least in banks in the old days, when you used to queue, by the time you got to the front, you used to be able to queue down a long sort of desk.
That's right,
do you remember that sort of thing?
You had the form, and by the time you got to the front,
you drop it off, but they never do that at airports and places. More queues. When we go to football, you just queue in there so that there's nothing at the front. You've already been checked by hamsters who can perhaps already smell the right tickets.
Yeah.
Which also, people who forge tickets, they can't get the right match day smell.
Smell.
Yes.
Exactly.
They wouldn't have, say for that game, they wouldn't have gone with tangerine citrus, which might be for European legs. Something like that. Gav, what are you going for?
Number 4622 says, I would train an...
That's the phone number. Ends
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
We're not starting to number listeners.
No.
Listener number 4622 says...
I would get a trained hamster to clean the bottom of the toilet, those hard-to-reach places, whilst wearing...
Wait.
Go on.
Go on, tell him, Gav.
Whilst wearing little scuba gear.
But once you get them in scuba gear, the possibilities,
man.
You're going down drain pipes just to clear away a few of them there. Oh, man. Nick in Croydon. Surely it must be possible to train a hamster to replace Little Si. The trouble is, I'm not sure it'll be stimulating enough.
Well, we're already looking into it, Nick.
But we're looking into it. I'm just not sure it'd be challenging enough. Dan in Salford, he wants to clean drain pipes with hamsters. Go on, Gav.
Tim in Erith says, open a florist's with trained delivery hamsters. Call it Hamsterdam.
Yes.
They can deliver
tulips from Amsterdam.
Massive wordplay game. Very strong wordplay game. Tim there. up in Erith.
Go on.
Ben of Deptford. I'd have those hamsters cleaning. I'm thinking skirtings to begin with.
Yes.
Once they've gained experience, they get sent behind the fridge. If any survive, then the best ones will be trained and put on boot duty. Absolutely. And also round the back, down the back of ovens.
Definitely.
I mean, round the kitchen. The
tops of cupboards. Oh, those bare areas that get all greasy and
little
dusty
hoovers
at the
just
top
dusting
there in kitchen.
There,
yeah.
In and out of anything patterned or grooved. If I had a hamster, I'd train it to hide in my pocket. And when I visit the houses of worst enemies, under the guise of making up, I'd say the command phrase, which I love now. This is Tom in York. Yeah, he's really thought this through. He'd have a command phrase, and the hamster would sneak out and chew through all their cables. He then adds, which is brilliant. I just want to know what the command phrase would be. Yeah. Do I think in these cases, always.
What?
Sick. Probably the. Sick. Probably the best use for a hamster would be bomb disposal, tiny paws, teeth to cut the wires, lightweight so wouldn't upset sensitive stuff. Not that I've got anything to do with that. Rob from Blackpool, anything? Last one from you, Gaff.
Liam of Daventry gives us a beauty. He says he'd train his hamster to eat up all the little bits of foodstuffs in his van that he drops. He gets fed, I get a clean van. Everyone's
fantastic.
A winner.
And certainly, if you're wondering about the cost of, you know, and how you're going to train them, train a hamster to train other hamsters in that task.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, schools of hamster.
It's getting meta.
Self-propagating. And he just puts, I don't know who it is, but it just says self-propagating. Powerful. lovely. I wish you put your name
Maybe
on a bit.
That's his name.
I could be, yeah. That's from Powerful.
Radio X.
Now, Gav.
Yeah.
I've always seen our audience as being a real old school crowd who likes to keep fit. Now, I know who
Absolutely
I'm talking
right.
to. I know I'm talking to out there, yeah?
Sure.
People who work hard, they play hard.
And they like to compete.
They like to compete. A lot of competitive guys out there, a lot of competitive guys and girls. But amongst them, you know, I know, I can feel it. Postal workers, rail women.
Farriers.
Old school jobs. Blacksmiths. Smiths.
Fletchers.
Smiths.
Wheelwrights.
Coopers.
Absolutely right.
Coopers.
Barrel makers. Fantastic.
Well, can I just say, for that artisan crowd at the moment, a lot of you, you love crafts, you love doing things with your hands. You also appreciate things that are more artistic, art music.
Yeah.
But also a while ago on Instagram, you might remember, about 4 years ago, 3 years ago maybe, I started putting out very limited edition.
You did. You posted
bits
very
of
limited
art
edition
on Instagram.
Images. That's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
First 100. It was first 100. Some of those were only 25s.
Yeah.
First 100, you simply just press like and then you reply mine, which gives you a numbered version of it because you'll see how many likes are at
that
moment.
That's your registration.
So first 100 likes, keep a copy, then I just delete it. It's gone.
Gone forever, yeah.
It's gone forever. That's it. And you've got your copy, screenshot it, whatever. I only say it because listen to this. It is the perfect art and the perfect market. Yeah?
Yeah.
Grimes, the musician girlfriend of the Tesla and SpaceX founder, this is Elon Musk's missus, has made $6 million from her creations this week. Yeah, I wonder who bought them. Considering they're not good art, all right? They're sort of five down. They look like sort of Roger Dean.
They do. They look like fantasy sort of prog rock album covers.
Yeah, right, yeah, right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or 2000 AD kind of Lord of the Rings kind of stuff, isn't it?
It's always where the calf muscles are a bit amplified, especially on like cherubs on an ice schooner. So
they're awful.
It's not, well, yeah, always missing is the word yes going through it. They're that bad.
Yeah.
But they depict scenes such as a petulant space baby orbiting Mars, some pigs that look if they might fly, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the buyers will never have the artwork brought to their house or gallery. In fact, they won't even touch the art. It doesn't exist.
Right.
And they don't exist in a physical sense.
Right.
Apparently, you can put it in a digital frame that connects to the internet, print it out or display it at virtual galleries such as Crypto Voxels. You can miss out on all of that, yeah?
Yeah.
Because right now, yeah, as this link's ending, I'm about to post this one, yeah, on Johnny_Vaughan66. First 100 will get it, and then it's gone.
Yep.
Should I expand it to 250, do you think, due to the fact there's going to be a bit more demand here?
Because it could be worth millions. That's the thing. You don't know.
I don't know. 100 or 250? What do you think, Kev? 100 or 250? Little Si? 100 or 250?
Go for 100. Keep it exclusive.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. You ready? You ready? This is going in now. I'm going to share it. Some of you would have already collected these, and sometimes when I put these up, people go, they get like Sunta gets in a real flap.
Oh, I know.
The Sunta's missed two of them.
And she's a collector.
And she says, well, you must be able to just send me one personally. I'm like, no.
Nope.
I've got to abide by the rules. So here we go. I was the first Instagram artist doing this, and really, everything after that, poor imitation.
Yeah,
particularly
rubbish.
Elon Musk's missus. Mm. Yeah. Maybe Elon, if you're listening, you'd like to swoop for one. Okay, I'm sharing it now.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Do you know what, Gav? If I look smugly flushed with success,
yeah,
it's because I've had some success at this stage already today. It doesn't really matter what happens in the show.
Right.
Because I've already had a successful day.
How?
Because, Gav.
Because
I love a kipper, right? I love
particularly love
Manx kippers, which my fishmongers does. They're smaller and they're not dyed.
Right.
Like a lot of the Scottish ones. No disrespect to our Scottish friends. Mm.
The Arbroath smoky.
Always incentive when someone says that. Watch very carefully. And I say this with all due respect to our Scottish friends. It's like Boris Johnson says to our European friends. Yeah. You know, generally that means they're actually rabidly anti-Scottish, which I'm not. Anyway.
Go on.
My granny was a McLaren. Mm. By that, I mean the family, not a car.
No.
She wasn't an overpriced sports car. That'd be bizarre.
It would.
Yeah, let's get through that. Anyway, so I'm in my kitchen, and recently, I would make out it's my own choice, but it's not. I've been banned from using the grill.
Why?
For kippers.
Because of the smell. Yeah, yeah.
Vanessa hates it.
Does she? Right, yeah.
So my mate Jim, he advised me, you get a boiling pan, get like a baking dish.
Yeah.
Baking tray, and you fill it up with water, boil it, get it really hot.
Right.
Put your kipper in.
Yeah.
Bang. I've told you before. And then take the heat off, and that's going to do it.
And just let it steep.
Yeah, that's how I started. Now the technique's getting really out of hand. I bought a proper pan. It's my dedicated little thin baking tray that I bought from Waitrose.
A kippering stiffle.
A kippering, well, I can scribble them in there. Yeah. No, it's like a scribbling dish. But without the, but I don't need a Manninger.
No.
I don't need the Mannington truffleizer. Anyway, Gav, I've got this thing. And do you know when you just find something in your kitchen that perfectly does?
Yes.
You're going to chuck it out. Well,
it's so satisfying.
I used to have a steamer in the wall about two houses ago.
Right.
And it had these trays on.
Yeah.
I started looking at this tray. It's got holes in it. And I've got no device which holds them.
Right.
And I suddenly thought, and it exactly fits.
In this baking tray.
So it exactly squashes down the kipper.
Oh, and it stays submerged.
And it stays submerged while the holes are there so the water comes through. The two of them, it looks like it was created like this, Gav.
Okay.
And
so the submerging, it doesn't let the smell out as
much.
Yes,
is that right? Exactly right.
Wow.
So it stayed submerged. It meant I got no peel from the skin of the fish.
Yeah, the scales,
which is not scales, has it? So I get there's no curling there.
Right.
It just came out. My God, it was just beautiful. I'd already done the washing up the sink, the special insert bottle.
Yeah.
Go straight in with the washing up liquid. It was so crazily slick.
I bet it was.
Then you know what happened, of course?
What?
Just when I was taking the pan to the sink,
of
course I slopped a bit of fishy water
and
on the side.
And that water does now smell, yes. And it's not
It was okay. I was in with the Dettol spray pretty fast. And while I was going there, in my mind was like those fire engines they have at the airports.
Yeah.
That's what I felt. I really felt like emergency crew.
I think you've got to throw a grenade at something
that. Yeah, something like really a kipper. You're better off just knocking the house down. I'll never go. Just torch the kitchen and then take the kipper out.
Yeah.
Put the kitchen in the oven, throw a grenade in the kitchen.
That's it.
Your kipper's done. Provided the oven's unharmed, you can get that kipper out. It should be perfect. Anyway, really successful. No bones in the back of the throat.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable. I mean, I was a bit cheesed off because there's no Coca-Cola in the fridge because I do like a Coca-Cola after breakfast in the morning. The devil's coffee, but it's not actually. It's the old red and white ambulance, right? The devil's coffee. 83936. Anything that's the devil's something, please, and explain what it is. It's the Devil's Friday. Now, just to tell you a bit about the history of Devil's Friday, it is it's the second Friday in Lent. For the first Friday, people had feasted generally all week. Well, they feasted on Shrove Tuesday, Ash Wednesday, and they were sort of fine on that first Friday.
Mm.
But by the time that second Friday came...
Oh, it's kicking in then, yeah.
And a Devil's Friday must have a full moon on it as well, which we have got today.
Yeah.
So it's a very special one. Mm. It meant you got the full moon and no weekend to look forward to for a lot of the peasants back then. Yeah. So you got a tremendous amount of violence, awful things happening. People's tempers were frayed because they're fasting.
That's right.
So yeah, they're all hungry and going crazy.
Everyone's like an angry toddler.
Yeah, there's no booze. There's nothing. So it became the Devil's Friday. Loads of great texts. Just all things devilish. The Devil's Wander, for instance, Phil in Birkenhead says... the walk to find an off-licence open for a top-up the morning after the party started. That's devilish. The Devil's Banquet, says Andy. When you have a takeaway for breakfast, lunch and dinner in one day, that's the Devil's Treble.
Olives. The Devil's Grapes.
The Devil's Grapes. I know, what are they called? Capers are the Devil's Bogies.
Right, okay,
definitely,
Definitely.
The Devil's Screwdriver, the razor-sharp kitchen knife used to undo small screws instead of going to the garage to get a proper screwdriver. Robin Rotherham, good work. Gav.
Adam thinks that the lime chutney at the Indian
curry
house...
What's he calling that?
He's calling it the Devil's Garnish.
The Devil's Garnish, brilliant. It's consigned to the devil. to the devil!
That's right. Amer also says the Devil's Dilemma, when you realise a neighbour's takeaway has also been delivered to you by mistake. Yeah, I don't know what he means by that.
Gav, to the devil!
Yes, to the devil with you!
What did he say in The Exorcist?
The power of Christ compels you.
Yeah, we're compelling it. Okay.
Jamie's gone route one as well.
Jamie in Leicestershire, he says, the devil's town, Coventry, the power of Christ compels you. Okay. Hi, gents. Here's something else owned by the devil. The Devil's Chorus. That's kids playing the recorder.
Yes.
Thank you very much. The power of Christ compels you.
Lisa in Scarborough, the devil's blood is the milk that you pour into your tea that's already gone off and you didn't notice till you take that first gulp in the morning cuppa.
That's Lisa in Scarborough. Let's focus on that. And the power of Christ compels you. Fly tippers, Ben of Deptford, thanks for this. Joy's calling them
what?
The Devil's Landscapers.
The power of Christ compels you.
Sorry. I said condemns, Gav. Quite strong. Here's one.
Go
Dr. Sutter Templeton, we know that. The Devil's Handmaiden.
Yes.
Here's another one. Wolverhampton. This is genius from Rich. Are we ready? Wolverhampton, the Devil's Dudley.
And the power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you.
I'm you ready to go to hell. The Devil's Delay.
Yeah.
A linesman waiting 20 seconds for the striker to score and wheel away in delight before raising his flag. That's Scott in Kendall. The power of Christ compels you. That foul confectionery marzipan, or as I've called it for years, the Devil's Earwax. The power of Christ compels you. Go on, Gav.
Ben says, the Daily Mail, the Devil's Bible.
The power of Christ compels you. The Devil's Bandit, the one fruit machine in the pub that never pays out. The power of Christ compels you. Gav.
The Devil's Polyps, unexpected sultanas in savoury meals.
That's nice.
Lorraine
the power of Christ compels you. How about this, Gav? The Devil's Paws.
What's that?
This is brilliant. It's the gap between a kick in the nuts and the impending... Satan's ache, the ache of death. That's Stoobs delivering car parts in Andover. Stoobs.
The power of Christ compels you.
Sorry, I'm actually miming holding a cross. I know. Taken it too far. Also, we've got the devil's butterfly, which is, of course, seagulls.
Yeah.
I'd have gone for... I think they're the devil's ducks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You'll get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. All together,
there'll always be a thang gang.
A thang gang there will be.
Thang.
As long as thang gang me. Radio X.